Welcome back to Beyond Well. I'm Sheila Hamilton, and this is a program for people who want to learn more about our interior lives. And today, we're talking with Dr. Leslie Dobson. Dr. Dobson is an expert at dealing with the kinds of people most of us want to avoid: psychopaths, narcissists, people with multiple personality disorder. And specifically today, we're going to be talking about narcissistic abuse. Thanks so much for joining us, Dr. Dobson.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's a very interesting topic.
So many people overuse the term narcissist. So what are the telltale signs and symptoms that actually give away a narcissist?
I think a lot of the symptoms are the games they play, because they lead with the games. So are they engaging in gaslighting? Are they engaging in cutting you down? Are they engaging in triangulation? There may not be physical violence, but does the cycle of domestic violence feel like it fits even verbally or emotionally? And lying to you or being different around other people.
Dr. Dobson, why do you think we ignore our intuition when we feel in our gut that something in a partnership just doesn't seem right? Why do you think we continue to look for the best in someone who can be a very abusive partner?
Well, a lot of the time, it's not an individual moment. It's this building cycle that we get sucked into. The abuse usually begins or ends with the honeymoon period. So even though there's that abuse and we feel belittled or small and horrible, then we get love bombed by them. And it feels wonderful. Finally, we have him back. Finally, he's going to give me everything I want. The attention is amazing. The sex is amazing. And then that fizzles out again. And that violence, that aggression, that inability to maintain a healthy relationship starts to pull forward again. And so that honeymoon pulls us in every time. That's also our biggest point of intervention when we want to try and break through.
What are the questions that a person should be asking themselves, especially, you know, in that honeymoon period where everyone thinks everything is going groovy? What are the questions that would allow them the clarity to break free of a potentially abusive relationship?
It's great to surround yourself with supportive family and friends in that honeymoon phase and say, we just went through all of this turmoil, but look now how he's presenting. Is this familiar to you? Have I been in this place before? Educate me on what you've seen me do, because I'm very sucked in and manipulated and I can't see myself right now. And then lean on other people. Another great thing is to journal. Journal how you feel. Journal how every week this changes, and follow the cycle and the pattern and log your evidence so that you can reflect back on that and find that confidence in yourself that a narcissistic person wants to cut down.
Narcissists are always known to be attracted to people who tend to be looking for the good, who want to make things better. They're kind, they're understanding. So in some way, you're asking folks to go against the grain of what attracted the narcissist to them in the first place in order to maintain that so-called happy relationship. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And there's science research articles on how a narcissistic person is more attracted to somebody who doesn't have a strong identity. Wow. So then they can really become the world to that person and they can do whatever they want to them. It's incredibly hard to break free of a domestic violence relationship with somebody with narcissistic traits. And I wish that we could just say, hey, stop being narcissistic, stop abusing me. But they don't have insight. It's one of our diagnoses in the DSM, the lack of insight to meet narcissistic personality disorder. Usually when I get to work with somebody who has narcissistic personality disorder, it's in my office, and it's because they have been met with consequences in some way. Their wife is going to leave. They're on leave from work. They're going to get fired. They're on parole and they have to go to a therapist. And so if I can get them in front of me and we can start working on their identity, I can see if there's hope. Mm-hmm. There are some people where there is no hope, and I will report back that treatment is not going to make them less dangerous and they won't build their insight.
So what signs are you looking for with regards to whether somebody could be rehabilitated?
I'm looking for change. If there's any empathy that exists in them in various situations, if they can build a relationship with me, we can actually have an emotional connection. But I'm also looking for that moment when I have my fall from grace, when their act starts to waver. I challenge them. I'm not on the pedestal anymore that I started on. Mm-hmm. And how do they handle me in that dynamic? Do I begin to enter a cycle of abuse with them? And then we really get to do the work. I become a part of the process.
That is so fascinating. You have to be doing all of that evaluating while at the same time trying to discern the real person. Wow.
It's tap dancing. It's a quick dance, but it's also a marathon.
With regards to being raised by a narcissistic parent, how do you advise someone who is struggling with that realization?
Incredibly difficult. I think it is so important to step back and say, what is the value of this relationship to me? What is the harm that comes from it? Can I attend Christmas if I keep it short? I'm not going to spend the night. I'm just going to attend for the meal. I'm not going to be a part of the cooking. You know, can I limit my interactions and strategically be in their presence, also while keeping things close to my chest so that I don't give them something to harm? I think it's really important too to understand where they come from, because we do throw around the word narcissism a lot, but there is a huge significant generational impact of how people were raised, of the culture they were raised in, and what became okay with their emotional display. So we could be misconstruing that for more narcissistic tendencies as well.
In this age of social media, narcissists are rampant, where people are posting inflated views of their lives, beautiful pictures, beautiful trappings, versus someone who is just trying to live an honorable life. So how do you tell the difference between an attention seeker and someone who might actually be good relationship material?
It is very difficult. And that's when I often tell my clients who are on dating apps and they're just starting to date, I ask them if they can slow down, if they can really vet the person, and how are they vetting the person? If they are being pressured to engage in a relationship faster than they're comfortable with, that's a huge red flag. A narcissistic personality wants you to become their property. They're going to snag you up quickly.
Is a narcissist close to the category of a psychopath?
They're not the same in the diagnostic manual in psychology. You don't have to have psychopathic traits to be a narcissist, but you do have to have narcissism to be a psychopath. So they do engage in that malicious intent. That manipulation becomes a complete lack of empathy. They need more bad things to feel stimulated. So more pain. They are emotionally manipulative, psychologically manipulative, but they also become impulsive and engage in risk-taking behavior. And they start to do things where a person who's not a psychopath would think ahead. They would want to not engage in the behavior because they may be caught or they may be hurt. But that fear of consequence to a psychopathic personality is challenging and exciting, and they like it. They get their energy from it. So it takes narcissism more into a manipulative, dangerous, malicious capacity.
Are we seeing more narcissism today than we have in the past?
No, I don't think so. I think we are more aware of the subtle signs. Even the clients are saying, am I a narcissist? But if you look at, you know, our World War II generation, I mean, they had a lot of narcissism, and they also had to keep everything inside. Getting home from Vietnam, they weren't allowed to talk about their experiences. So even if they were narcissistic, they couldn't be diagnosed as so because they don't put themselves out there as much. And the relationships with their families were more secretive.
Is there any trend in the narcissistic abuse pattern where the anger and the outbursts are first directed at animals before it goes to interactions with humans?
The cruelty aspect wouldn't fall under the narcissism per se, but the lack of empathy, the inability to tolerate strong emotions, the irritability, the desire to hurt an animal because it would then make a spouse hurt. So again, it's that relational manipulation, but not the desire to really hurt the animal. That would be more of that psychopathic mind where they're enjoying seeing the animal in pain and they're curious about what the insides look like, and it gets more gross.
Any other advice or observation for someone on the lookout for narcissistic red flags?
You may feel stuck, and that's how they want you to feel. So don't stop. Keep fighting. Keep building your education and your awareness and your muscle memory, especially how to respond in arguments or when they are attacking you. Build your confidence in that. Keep it close to you and know that it's there if you want to use it or you need to defend yourself. You don't have to tell a narcissistic husband that you're practicing to argue with him. Listen to your intuition. If you are beginning to sense that they're narcissistic, then start to put together your plan. In less meaningful relationships, we can use the trending gray rock communication where you give them nothing that a gray rock wouldn't. So you're just mute and boring and they have nothing to pull from you or manipulate. But if you're in a relationship and over time gray rocking would seem odd and they would become suspicious, I wouldn't recommend that. I would recommend practicing the communication that you'll use. So an example might be if you are being gaslit, saying, "My emotions are valid. You did this and it led to me feeling this way." So you're not asking a question, you're not getting feedback from them. You're simply just holding your own and stating your experience. The less you allow them to pull from you, the less enticing the game becomes.
And if it becomes time to break free of the relationship, do you need to be careful with regards to domestic violence to plan and make sure you get out without their knowing?
Yes. And I think it's very important to plan with lawyers, to plan with financial advisors, to fully understand the worth of your home, how they can rip you apart if they need to, have all of your passwords with you, if you can keep a private bank account, if you can write down your phone numbers in case he takes your phone. So never underestimate the capacity of an individual who is narcissistic and being wounded, because they will fight with everything they have.
Dr. Leslie Dobson, thank you so much.